I am Greg Kane.
I'm Tina Kane.
And we are called the Bless.
Well, Greg and I first met when I was a senior in high school, and we looked a lot different back then. Greg had long blonde hair, and he used to blow dry. He actually blow dried his hair. And he had a long red beard. And I was with my friends, and he was with his friends. And we went to an Ohio County football game. And, of course, I noticed him right away, and evidently he noticed me right away. I asked him what he did for a living, and he said, in pottery. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's cute, and he's an artist. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I thought I'd hit the jackpot, you know? And later on, as we got to know each other a little bit more, he told me that they made commodes, not art pottery. So, anyway, I still liked him after that. It didn't matter at that point. So.
We were married July 26, 1980.
We waited 5 years before we had Megan, and then we waited 10 years before we had Cora, so we spread them way out.
I got saved at 20, and at 21, I surrendered to preach. We had heard about this Experiencing God, and I went to the Experiencing God seminar on M9. They were talking about a truck stop ministry, about starting a truck stop ministry, and I knew a lot of truck drivers and heard a lot about it, and I told them I might be interested, and that was the worst thing I could have ever done, because they just grabbed a hold of me and asked me to be a part of the truck stop ministry. I worked in Rockport. I worked in a factory there for 26 years, and actually I kept Bibles at my workstations, and a young man that worked for me started reading one on his own. He'd never read the Bible. He read all the way through Matthew, and he was asking me questions, and he actually was reading the Bible and not telling his wife, afraid she'd be mad, and all at the same time, this is how God connected us, all at the same time she was reading it and wasn't telling him, afraid he'd be mad. And both of them accepted Christ on their own through reading the Bible, and that's how we got the church started. They wanted to be in a Bible study with, you know, and us teach them what the Bible is all about, and we started the Bible study with them and a couple that they knew. I was preaching at the truck stop, and I was preaching at the gospel mission, and we actually had a pulpit with songbooks, and we would load this up, and we would take it to the gospel mission and have all the songbooks and everything there in the pulpit there. That's we'd take it back to the truck stop and use it there. We left us probably running around 80 or so when we left, and we just felt like, I mean, it was just like an overwhelming thing. If we don't leave now, it'll be my church instead of God's church. It's a great blessing to be in a new church plant again. All these new Christians, to watch them, I've already been able to watch them mature and grow and take responsibility, and it's so exciting to me to see all these people saved in a year's time, to get to work with people that have never done this before, and get to know all these new people. I just love it. It's turned my life around as far as wanting to be back in the ministry, you know.
And I think we have a real grasp on working in our community, showing the love of Christ right here where we are, like when we gave away the hamburgers. That was so much fun, and everybody gets to fellowship together and love the community, and people were so surprised when they would come up and they'd try to give you a donation, and, you know, and Kenny would say, no, 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 we're just loving on our community, you know, we're not, it's not about the money today, you know, we're just loving our community, and you see people maturing as we go, you know, people are stepping up to do children's ministry. You know, whole teams of us. You know, it's not like pulling teeth to get people to come and do the work that needs to be done. They're willing to do it, and that's because it's new and it's exciting. And you know, we love each other, and I see people growing in that. How we're getting to know each other in our small groups,
and also allow your kids to love each other. This is a. If I had one other thing to say, it's great for my daughter, for Cora. To be able to be in the praise band and have an opportunity as a young adult to worship God at her church, not our church, and worship at her church.
I'm Tina Kane.
I'm Greg Kane.
And we're called to bless.
And so are you.
And like, I'm not really for sure what happened to Greg's hair. I hope that's not a sign of church planting is what happens to you. But it looked like it was already gone by the time church planting happened. I'm not for sure. Hey, wasn't that awesome to see them give that testimony? You know, it's really encouraging. I just, as we get ready to introduce our next purpose of life, and that is that we're called to do ministry, and we talk about that, I just want to let you all get to know the Cain family a little bit, that God did a great work with them through a truck stop ministry and then through starting a church in Rockport and then handing that over to somebody else, and then what God is doing. And then here they are, crazy enough to be back in another church plant. So that's pretty awesome. We are talking about, and have been over the last few weeks, what on earth am I here for? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, what on earth are you here for? What are you here for? Well, if you've been here the last few weeks, you've learned a little bit. You've learned a little bit. You've learned that God has a call for all of us, that He loves every one of us, that He has a plan for us. He wants to save us. He cares for us. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for us so we could be saved. And when we give our lives to Christ, we discover purpose. Now, here's what we've discovered so far. We've discovered that all of us was planned for God's pleasure, which means that we are to worship God. One of our first purposes in life is to give worship to the Lord Almighty, to praise Him for all that He's done for us, and to celebrate Him and to worship Him. Then we talked about the fact that we were made for fellowship, that we are to fellowship with each other, that we need to be connected to a Christian family. We need to be part of a Christian family, of growing close to each other. It's not perfect. A Christian family is like any other family. You know, it's got loose ends. Things don't always go right, but we're to be connected to each other. Last week, we introduced our third purpose, which is all about discipleship, that we are to grow closer to Jesus Christ and closer to God every day. And then we're going to get in today to our next purpose, the fourth purpose. And if you got your notes, turn them over in the back on the bulletin. Get your Bibles out. And I can't tell you how awesome it's been that we've been doing this journey, this 40-day journey. Our life groups are studying about it. We're reading about it. We're preaching about it. And by the way, it's almost over. Did you know that? We've almost completed this journey. And it's amazing to see what God is doing. And I'm excited as we near the end of this journey, not next weekend, but the weekend after, we're going to celebrate. And what a great way to end our campaign. We're going to celebrate our first birthday at the end of this campaign journey. Isn't that awesome? We're going to celebrate 1 year of us being together. So on that night, on the 27th, make sure you plan on being at Cross Point Baptist Church as we celebrate our 1 year anniversary. We're going to have a potluck. And you know, we're not really Baptists unless we've had a potluck. And we've not had a potluck. So we need to do that to show maturity. Amen today? So we're going to have a potluck couple of Sunday nights from now. We're going to have a big birthday. We're going to baptize that night. We already got one person lined up to be baptized, and more, I'm praying, will come and join them as they baptize. And we're excited about that, our 1 year church anniversary. You know, Sam read our memory verse to us this morning, and we're going to put it again on the screen, Michael, if you would. It's from Ephesians 2:10. And it says this. It says, "For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2:10. Let's read that together if we can. "For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2:10. That memory verse, as we study that and we memorize that today, leads us right into our next purpose. Ephesians chapter 2 is that great chapter that tells us, that gives us verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved, not of works. It is a gift of God." Y'all remember that verse? That's a verse that reminds us that it's not a religion that saves us. It's not a creed that saves us. It's not a baptism that saves us. It is solely Jesus Christ, by His blood, by His cross, a personal relationship with Jesus, that Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us that we are saved by grace and grace alone. But when you get to verse 10, here's what's amazing. It adds a new dimension to that. Somebody will say, "Well, Kenny, if you believed you're saved just by grace and not by works, do you believe that once you get saved, you can live like the devil, you can do whatever you want to? You saved by grace, now you can live it up like the devil. Is that what you're telling me?" And I'm telling you, absolutely not. Because Ephesians 2:10 gives you a purpose of your life. And this is what it says. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His creation." And check this out. "Created in Christ Jesus for what?" What does it say? "For good works." Listen, you're not saved by good works. Make that very clear. You're not saved by your good works. You're saved by grace and grace alone. But when you get saved, you ready? There should be good works in your life. When you get saved, there should be good works in your life. If we preach Jesus, but yet our lives are unchanged and unaffected, what kind of God is that? That we believe that He can forgive us, but He can't change us? What kind of God is that? But when we give our lives to Him, He saves us by grace, and then He creates us and pushes us to do good works in Him. Now, we call that ministry. And we're going to explain ministry here in a second. But Ephesians 2:10 introduces us to our fourth purpose in life. So if you have your bulletin, look on the back. Your fourth purpose in life is this: God shaped me to serve Him. God shaped me to serve Him. We're going to explore that in just a little bit. But by the way, God has been from the very beginning working on you, giving you a personality, giving you exactly who you're supposed to be to serve Him just the way that you are. And when you discover a personal relationship with Jesus, boy, does that make sense. But remember, as we've been talking about our purpose in life, we also know that our purpose has a calling. So to know your purpose is just not enough. You have to answer the call. If you know this is the purpose, then you have to answer the call that goes with it. We've had a calling for each one of these purposes that we've had. So if our fourth purpose in life is that God shaped me to serve Him, we respond to that by answering God's call, which is this: I am called to bless. I am called to bless. Now, I'm so excited about preaching this because this is one of the biggest things. And by the way, which means I am a bivocational minister. Now, some of y'all are thinking, not me. I'm not a bivocational minister. I've never been to seminary. I've not been ordained. What are you talking about, a bivocational minister? Well, guys, I want to tell you real quick that we have kind of really messed this up theologically. We have come to believe that a minister is only somebody who works in a church. That's it. They only work in a church. They have been ordained. They have done this or that. And let me just back up and say a little bit that there are certain people who have jobs and duties to do that. There are certain callings to work in a church. Now, even though we're all called to be ministers today, hear me on this. Not all of you are called to be pastors. Not all of you are called to be pastors. Not all of you are called to be specific servants within the church, so to speak. But we all called to minister. Now, let me just help you with that today, because some of you don't like that. Because when you hear that you're supposed to be in ministry today, that you're supposed to minister, you want to make every excuse not to. You want to make every excuse why you shouldn't be in ministry today. Because, ministry is going through Bible colleges, preaching a sermon. No, that is not correct. Ministry, you ready? Write this in your notes. Just write this somewhere. Ministry is simply this: giving Jesus to people. That's it. You know, the Bible says that we are all a ministry. It says that over and over and over, that this is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And all of us will have a unique ministry. All of us will have a different type of ministry. And we start talking about bivocational ministry, and that blows our minds away. But remember what Colossians 3:17 says: "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, did you catch that? Everything you do is to be done for Jesus Christ. Everything. So listen, if you are a stay-at-home mom, you're to do that for Jesus. If you work in a factory, you're to do that for Jesus. If you clean houses, cut hair, coach, if you fly helicopters, you are to do that for Jesus Christ. And as we go and we represent Jesus wherever we are going to do ministry. We're going to bless people. See, so many people think it's only the pastor's job to do ministry. And if we incorrectly believe that it's only the pastor's job to minister, oh boy, our churches will die, People will never come to know Jesus. People will not be blessed if it's only the pastor's job to do ministry. See, when you unlock your fourth purpose in life, I hate it. I hate it for you. I'm so sorry. You ready? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. When you unlock your fourth purpose, repeat after me, you're accountable. Tell your neighbor that. You're accountable. Boy, that's hard, ain't it? You are accountable. You are responsible. And that's tough, ain't it? That's tough. Boy, that's tough to know now you are responsible to bless people in the name of Jesus. You're responsible. You are held accountable. See, you ever seen bifocals? What bifocals are? Who has to wear bifocals? Anybody? Oh, all right. We got a couple bifocals in the house. It helps you to see two things at the same time. Bivocational ministry is all about this. You ready? Whatever earthly job you have, whatever it is, you see you have two reasons for that earthly job. You ready? To help other people and to honor God. To help other people and honor God. Now you thought today, man, we tricked you today, didn't we? Oh, I only thought the minister did ministry, right? No, we all do ministry. We all help people. We all love people. We just got to define what that means, that we love people and help people and encourage them and give them Jesus wherever we are. You know what's really cool? If today, if we embraced this and we understood this and we released all of you all to go bless people in the name of Jesus and to help people and to do mission work in your community, at your job, you know what could happen? People would see Jesus all over this city if you lived up to your fourth calling. They'd see Jesus everywhere. Because it would be multiplied with everybody here, shining the gospel light to everybody. Our church is called to minister. Now, you know, as we have in our own life, personal callings and personal purposes, the church itself has purposes which mirror these. Likewise, the church is to exist for as worship and discipleship and fellowship and also ministry as well. That's one of our purposes as a church. Now, before we go any further to help you discover your ministry in this church and your ministry of what God's called you to do in your life, I want to tell you some good news. Y'all like good news? Some of y'all like good news. You like good news? As our church is growing and God is doing great things, we want to make sure that we are more than just a Sunday morning ministry. We want to make sure that we're more than just a worship service. I'm so excited to tell you about what I've been chewing on this, sitting on the back burner, hiding this from you guys, not really, but just at the time it had to simmer before I told you, right? And here's what's really neat. We have an awesome opportunity coming during the holiday seasons. I can't believe it worked out, but it is so amazing. Sam's back there smiling right now because God used Sam to make this come about. This is amazing. The KWC basketball team and other teams that are there, they stay at that campus even when the cafeteria is closed down. And the KWCs, they got to go all over to find people that will feed these college kids, you know, that feed them. And me and Sam, he set me up with a meeting with the athletic director. And by faith, I'm so excited about this, to make sure that our church has a ministry throughout December and a little bit of January. We're going to feed all the athletes at KWC one night a week to minister. And y'all are thinking, Kenny, that's insane, isn't it? And you know what? It really is. It really is crazy. But let me tell you what's awesome. We are called to minister, and God's going to provide that. Amen? What if I told you? I'm going to. Out of the blue, I get a call on Friday. Kenny, can the church use hundreds of pounds of spaghetti sauce? I said, yes, we can. So here's what's cool. When we get ready to go minister and feed these athletes, we got a jar of spaghetti sauce for you to cook. We're going to stand here on a Sunday morning and just pass it out on your way out the door as we cook for athletes. Isn't that cool? Now, Kenny, why? Why? Because we are called to bless people. That's a need of college students. And we're going to bless them in the name of Jesus. Hey, guys, it ain't about us. Amen? It ain't about us. And we're going to serve those hungry, hungry hippos. No, athletes is what we're going to do. We're going to do that just for a few weeks, and we are excited. But as our church is pressing forward, I'm also excited about this too. Our advisory team is seeing that our church is growing and maturing and God is doing a great work. And they're seeing this, and we're so close to chartering, which means that we are will separate from our mama church in a good, healthy way to become our own autonomous church. And we're very, very close to that. We got to dot some I's, cross some T's. Our chartering team's working on that, but God's providing. And we had an amazing meeting last Monday. And we talked about the need to make sure that Life Community is grounded in this community, that it doesn't go away, that it doesn't just fade away. So we are in the process of stepping out even before we charter by faith. See, God blessed us with $100,000 from the Kentucky Baptist Convention. You can look at our financial reports, and here's what's wild. We used that by faith in year one, and it's still there in our bank account. That's a God thing. Amen? That's a God thing. But let me tell you, that's not to be hoarded. That's not to be set upon, because it's to be used for God's kingdom. So our advisor team has really felt led of the Lord that we're going to begin looking, not for a building for church. Don't get too excited, all right? This is where we're at, all right? This is where we're at. This is where we need to be at. God has confirmed that multiple times. This is where we need to be at. But we're going to be looking and actively looking for a, you ready? A ministry center. Now let me explain that real quick. A place we can house our offices of our church at, that we can have a permanent grounding at, and then also, in addition to that, a place that we can operate our food pantry out of, and a place that we can do all of our 101 classes and 201, 301, 401, and our teen kid ministries. So we can have a permanent lighthouse to this community. Guys, we need that, amen? To have a permanent ministry locked in this community, so we're just not the dudes that are rolling around the trailer everywhere, but that we are having a permanent ministry. Now, will God provide? Absolutely. Amen? He'll provide. Where's it going to be at? I don't know. We got to find it. God will reveal the perfect place to us. Do you believe that? He'll reveal the perfect place for our ministry center to be at. He'll reveal it. He'll show it. We just got to watch for it. But let me tell you this. Life Community, as we're sitting there telling you about your purpose to minister, I'm telling you how important it is that we believe that we are to help people and love people in the name of Jesus Christ, that we will step out on faith to press forward. Now, let's shift gears back to your purpose, all right? I was so excited I had to tell you that stuff, man. I was excited. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's imagine today what would happen if we used our lives to serve and bless other people. What if we did use our lives to serve and bless other people? Let's real quickly look at a few reasons why. First, serving others unselfishly will create joy in my life. You know, the Apostle Paul said this, but even if I am poured out like as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. He said, even if my body is exhausted and I'm melting because I'm serving and I'm pouring it out and I'm about to collapse, I'm about to fall apart is what he says. It's all worth it because of the joy that I get out of doing it. Now, you think about Paul. Here's a guy that had extensive traveling. He endured hardships such as rejection, shipwrecks, conflicts, even went to prison for his faith, was even eventually beheaded for his faith. And he was tired. Boy, did he get tired. He was a human being. But yet he said it was a joy. He rejoiced in the service. He rejoiced. You know, I can not totally relate to Paul, but I know what it's like to get done on a Sunday night and to finally sit down. And your legs are just throbbing. And it still feels like the room is spinning. And you don't feel good. You're tired. But you still can't go to sleep because of how busy the day was. And you're sitting there just contemplating it and thanking it. And it was still a joy for what God did. Can't tell you how many times I preached revivals and I'm just so dog tired when I left and I drove home 2 or 3 hours to go home and so tired, but so full of joy at the same time. Ministry has a way of creating joy in your life. See, many people are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. They turn to drugs, alcohol, sex, money, toys, popularity. They want joy. They think the next greatest thing will make them happy. I'm telling you today, it's not. The next greatest thing will not make you happy. Actually, believe it or not, if you really want to discover joy in your life, you need to shift gears. Stop thinking about yourself. Start thinking about other people. When you start thinking about other people, you ready for this, and not yourself, first off, all your little concerns and aches and heartaches and troubles and stuff, when you start thinking about other people, your stuff doesn't seem half as bad. It doesn't seem half as bad when you start thinking about the needs of others. But when you make the shift from thinking of yourself to others, guys, I'm telling you, there's a joy that wells up in your heart. You get selfish and you look in that mirror too much, you'll get miserable. You'll get miserable. But if you start helping other people and loving people, there will be a joy. Listen, if you've never been on a mission trip, you don't know what happiness is. You go on a mission trip and boy, man, you will smile, you will laugh, you will celebrate more than you ever have in your entire life. I remember on one of my many trips to Honduras, I remember that there was, we spent the night in this, I don't know what it was. It was a structure, okay? And it had an open door to it, you know? So you kind of like got the blanket here and your eye on the door, you know, when you're sleeping. And we're all kind of nervous because there was no door. And then one day, one of our team members came out just crying and laughing at the same time. And he said, his name was Keith. We said, Keith, what's wrong? I mean, he just shook up and he's smiling. He said, man, you won't believe this. He said, I've been so nervous about that door being open when we're sleeping here at night. And I just finally was able to go to sleep. And I turned around. And right in my face was a big old rabbit just staring right at my face. He said, I got scared. The rabbit got scared. He ran. I ran. Here I am right now. And I'm telling you, you know, we laugh about that, but just great memories that happen on a mission trip. It's just great ministries, great memories. But then I can tell you about the joy that comes in mission trips. I can tell you about the joy. I can tell you about when me and my buddy Jody, we hiked to the top of a mountain one year, and there was a lady scrubbing her clothes out there on a washboard type deal on top of this mountain, and we're sharing the gospel with her through a translator. And she says, I'm a Christian. And we're sitting there thinking, man, we hiked all the way up here. You're the only person we've seen, and you know Jesus already. And she says, yeah, but my daughter, who's avoiding you all over there, she needs Jesus. And she won't talk to you. She's hiding from you, but she needs Jesus. Will you pray for her? I said, absolutely. That night at the revival service, that family walked all the way down that big mountain. It took a long time. And that daughter was the first one to give her life to Jesus that night. Guys, when you minister, I'll tell you, there's nothing that comes close to that. It's awesome. The joy of serving, blessing. It doesn't have to be on a mission trip. And by the way, let me give you another heads up of what's coming with our church. You ready? By the grace of God, we've been in talk with a church planter in New York City through the North American Mission Board. By the grace of God, we're going to take a team to NYC this summer, this upcoming summer, to minister with a church planter in Brooklyn. Y'all ready for that? Subway, Subway, Subway. And I ain't talking about the sandwich. Amen? We're going to have a good time serving others and blessing. Our church wants to minister and help. Amen? Because there's a joy in that. Boy, listen, you can't have my joy. You can't take it. But I know where you can get some. Just start serving people. So when we serve others unselfishly, next we see that it improves your relationships. When you serve other people, it improves your relationships. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives a drink of water will receive water. Doesn't that make sense? Can I just tell you just a rule of thumb for life? Don't burn a bridge unless you have to. Don't burn a bridge unless you have to. Let me give you another rule of thumb of life. You ready? Normally, if you're nice to people, they're nice to you. If you're mean to people, guess what? They're normally mean to you. If you're a jerk, everybody's going to be jerky to you. Understand that today. But when we serve people and love people, two things happen. Your established relationships will be strengthened. And then new relationships will overflow, and then God will bless. When you serve people, God does a great work in your relationships. Husbands, when you serve your wives, that improves your marriage. Wives, when you serve your husbands, it improves your marriage. Children, when you listen to mom and dad and obey them, it helps with the overall structure of the family unit. God blesses that. Most importantly, here's what you need to understand with this, is that if we are to serve and give the name of Jesus, people will never care how much we know until they know how much we care. If we really want to see our lost loved ones come to know Jesus Christ, serve them. Love them. Help them. They need their house painted, go paint it. They need their yard mowed, go mow it. If they need help with child care, watch their kids. When you do that and you show the love of Jesus and you overflow that and you help with that, next thing you know, they'll say, man, what's wrong with you? You act different. You're not out for yourself. You're not out for number one. You're helping people. Why? And you say, well, I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you about what Jesus has done in my life. Next, serving others unselfishly. This is what I really want you to catch. Will make my life meaningful. Meaningful. Look what it says in Mark 8:35. Jesus told us this. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Well, that's a hard word, isn't it? If you want to save your life, you've got to lose your life. Whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. Jesus was very clear. If you really want the best out of life, you've got to quit living for yourself. If you want the best out of life, you've got to lose your life, particularly to Jesus Christ. You got to say, Lord, it's not about me. I need Jesus in my life. Come into my life. Save my life. Give me a brand new start. I'm no longer the Lord of my life. You're the Lord of my life. I'm not the boss. You're the boss. I'm giving my life to you. But likewise, when we serve other people, when we sacrifice and lay down our lives for Christ, when we do that, likewise, it creates tremendous meaning. Did you know that by just the little bittiest things that you can do for other people will speak volumes to them? For example, you ever been at the drive-thru and paid for somebody's food behind you? Do it. It will absolutely make them go nuts. They won't know what's happening. Well, Kenny, what if they don't like it? Who doesn't like free food? Come on, do it. Do it. Why? Because of blessings. Poor people. Poor. I challenge y'all. If y'all go to McDonald's there or Wendy's or wherever, buy the person behind you food. Bless them. Well, what do I get out of it? You please God. You bless somebody. Help them. See, when we pour our lives out for other people, our lives take on a tremendous amount of value and a tremendous amount of meaning as we love people and help people, which simply means you need to discover your shape in life. And Michael, I think that's on there, your shape. I think Taryn typed that in. If you've been through 301, you know what I'm talking about, but I'm just going to crash course it for you real quick. Every one of us has been hardwired to serve God. And if, by the way, if you've not been to 301, I challenge you to go. But here's what happens. When you begin to lose your life for the gospel and you begin to help people and love people, you need to understand what are your spiritual gifts. When you know how God has gifted you, you'll know how you can be of service. Know your heart. What is your heart beat for? Is it foreign missions? Is it international missions? Is it for a food pantry? Is it for door-to-door ministry? Is it for writing cards? What is your heart beat for? Is it for a needy group of people? Is it for the disadvantaged? What is your heart beat for? What's your ability? I mean, what has God given you? Can you work on computers? Can you do carpentry work? Do you know how to edit movies? Or do you know how to mow yards or paint houses? What about your personality? Are you introverted? Are you extroverted? Because God can use introverts in one way. He can use extroverts in another. And then your experiences. What have you been through in life? What are the hardships? What are the hardships you've had? What's the hurts you've had? The painful experiences that you've had that you can maybe turn around and help somebody else with that. See, when you do an introspective work of your life and you see what God's really gifted you with and brought you through, you can help people. And you know what I love about this? There's nothing wasted in your life. If you begin to think about every hardship and pain you've been through, and it's not wasted, but God can use that for the glory of God, hey, you know what that means to me? I have value today. Every mistake I've ever made, God can turn around and use it for good because He taught me. He showed me something. And I can relate to somebody. That's a good thing. When you serve other people unselfishly, your life takes on a tremendous new value. It's not about you. It's bigger. It's bigger. Bigger than you could ever imagine. But last and finally, look at here. Serving others unselfishly is honorable. It's honorable. John 12:26 says, if anyone serves me, this is Jesus, he must follow me. So check it out right there. If you're going to be a servant of God, you have to first do what? Follow Jesus. If you're not a follower of Christ, if you've never given your heart to Christ, you're not a servant. The end. You can only serve if you follow Jesus Christ, if you've been born again. But look where else he says, where I am, don't miss this part, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So if you want to receive honor from the Father, you got to be where Jesus is. Which means you got to understand where Jesus would go in life. Think about Christ. He left the comfort of heaven to be born in an old barn full of animals. Are you willing to leave your comfort to help other people? Hey, he taught truth even when no one else would teach truth. Are you willing to stand up for what you believe in, to preach the truth, even though people don't want to hear the truth? He washed his disciples' feet. Even one of them was Judas that he washed his feet. Are you willing to reach out to those that may even want to hurt you, to bless them in the name of Jesus? He died on a cross for us. Are you willing to sacrifice for other people? You know, I love the fact that it says God will make you, God will honor you. You know, I remember if you go to any college campus anywhere, you'll see buildings with names of people. You know, you'll have the, I remember my college campus, Stapp Hall, Druin Hall. I don't know who these people are. I'm sure they had some big ribbon ceremony, some big hado about it. They got their name on a building. Fantastic. But here I am just a few years later, I don't have a clue who they are. You know what? We can seek this earthly honor. We can seek it all we want to. But I'm going to tell you something. If your goal is to get your name on a building or on a plaque or in a park or something, I'm just telling you, two generations next, they don't have a clue who you are. They don't have a clue who you are. I'm going to tell you something. There are people right now on this earth who have given their life to Christ, who are serving, who are pouring out, and you don't know who they are. But when you get to heaven, boy, they're going to be the celebrities in heaven. There won't be celebrities in heaven. Jesus is a celebrity. But you get what I'm saying. Amen? They're going to be the ones that we know, man, that guy was pouring his life out for the Lord over there somewhere. It doesn't have to be in some dark jungle either. It could maybe that he was just helping all of his employees in a factory, laying Bibles out in a factory. We don't know. But I do know this, that when you serve God, it's honorable. It's honorable. You think of Mother Teresa's life, how she poured out and sacrificed. And you know what? That lady could walk into Congress and they would listen. Boy, I wish she was around right now, don't you? Don't you? I want to tell you something. Real men, real women serve God. And they seek his approval. They seek his honor. They seek his statements, his judgment. Don't we all want to say at the end, don't we want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Servant. See, our lives are hardwired to minister, to help people, to love people. So I ask you today, what is God calling you to do? How are you supposed to live this out? What's your heartbeat for? What has God gifted you with? You're supposed to minister. You're supposed to help people. You're supposed to love people. Maybe it's in the church. Maybe it's signing up to do the kids ministry or the nursery or to help out with setup or this or that. But I'm taking it even a step further. How are you supposed to help people at your work? How are you supposed to help your neighbors? How are you supposed to help your family, your friends? Because you represent Jesus Christ. Guys, in closing, let me tell you this. One reason that we are called to minister is because many, many people will never, ever read this book. Never. They'll never crack it open. And to them, you are the only Bible they will ever read. Y'all with me on that today? You're the only Bible they will ever read. Friends, Jesus Christ gave his life on an old rugged cross, poured out his blood so that we could be saved. If there's someone today who's never received the free gift of salvation, oh, would you give your heart to Christ? Oh, would you allow him to come into your life? And next, if you've given your heart to Christ, would you turn around and sacrifice for others the way he sacrificed for you? Would you do that today? Because your life will have value and meaning and purpose if you learn how to do that. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus and what he did on the cross for our sins. In this time now, Lord, as we worship and we come to a time of invitation where people can come forward to profess their faith or to unite with the church or to join the church, or people can come and pray as they heard the word and they respond. God, I pray you'll move in hearts. You'll touch them and help them today to know that everyone here is called into ministry. Everyone here is called to serve and to love. God, may you take Life Community Church, grow this church, not just numerically, but with servants that love and help people. Lord, move in hearts and lives today. We pray in your name. Amen. Look right here. Here in a second, we're going to stand. We invite you to come. If you need to surrender your life to Christ, this is your time to come. If you need to make a decision, it's your time to come. You need to unite with the church. This is your time to come today. Maybe you just need to pray. This is your time. As we stand, let's worship back to God what He taught us today. Thank you.